What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 259 on this Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. Final show of March. Josh Callaway, Tom Green with you. Spring camp, full go. We've been at it for about a week now. The Sooners have had four practices. We've been at three of them. I've been at two. Tom's been at three. We've talked to a bunch of players. Brent Venables, Ben Arbuckle. What have we learned? We'll get into it. The early takeaways from spring camp. Also touch on some of the injuries. Are we worried, concerned? We'll talk about that as well. And, of course, we'll break down all the other sports, men's basketball, women's basketball, sports on the diamond, a lot of other stuff going on as well. Busy time of year. We'll recap it all on a packed Tuesday show today. Reminder, before we get started, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership for a year to Sooners Illustrated and the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Use that promo code and take advantage. Be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about. Spring camp is off and running, Tom. Like I said, we've been at it for, you know, a week now, full week, if you will. They've had four practices. We've been at, you've been at three of them. I've been at two of them. We've talked to a bunch of players. Like I said, Brent Venables, Ben Arbuckle yesterday, who was really good. Of course, all the interviews, all that good stuff is on the YouTube channel. A lot of content, spring content over on the website as well. Basically, every single day. Early takeaways. I mean, I'm just going to kind of open up. I certainly have a few things. You have not yet been on since we started spring ball. Colin, I did a little bit of this, obviously, last week. But I just kind of open board. Where do you want to start as far as just what has been your early takeaway impression, whether it's a certain player, position group, more wide arching? What has stood out to you so far through these first, you know, handful of practices in the first week?
I'll start on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I think at wide receiver, even though they're a little bit banged up there right now, that position group just looks like they've reshaped it a good amount. They're all bigger. It's noticeably. You bring in guys like Parker Livingston and Trell Harris. Trell obviously hasn't practiced yet. And, you know, Parker we saw was dealing with looked like either a leg or a groin when we were out there yesterday. But those guys just bring some additional size. And then you add in guys like Manny Choice and Elijah Thomas, who just physically looked the part. Jaden Pettit, another guy that just physically looks, you know, bigger than what they've had in recent years. And I think there was a cognizant effort to, you know, kind of reshape the room and, you know, get more of these big bodied receivers and less of these, you know, smaller twitchy guys that, you know, maybe we saw in years past, like a Drake Stoops or a Brenton Thompson, yeah, or, you know, some of those guys, Andrew Anthony, those types of guys. So that was one of the things that stood out to me early. And then, you know, the tight end room, just day and night difference of what that looks like. And it's been really interesting when we've been out there. Brent Venables spends a lot of time watching Jason Witten work with those tight ends, at least during the early portions of practice when we're out there. You know, I think some of it is intrigue, just kind of, you know, wanting to see firsthand how Witten handles that group. And I think some of it is just a little bit of admiration even. Like, you could see, like, I think I said it to you last week, but like watching Brent on the first day, watch the tight ends. It was almost like Jack Nicholson in Anger Management, where it's just like eyes wide, nodding yes, like, yeah, this is what I wanted here. And then from a personnel standpoint, like Hayden Hansen, you know, we got to watch some 11-on-11 play action reps during Monday's practice, and he was holding up pretty well against Taylor Wine there. Wasn't the case for what they had in that position group last year. They struggled to, you know, block off the edge. You know, Jaron Kanick tried his darndest at times. You know, obviously had other guys in that room that just weren't up to the, you know, up to the task of, you know, blocking some SEC edge rushers. But to see Hayden Hansen hold his own, I know, like, it's day four of spring practice. Sure. It's not like, you know, some of these guys that you're going to be seeing in live action in the fall. But I think it's still a promising sign and just a little bit different from what we saw a year ago.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, agree completely. You know, we saw a little bit in that 11-on-11 that you're talking about, a little too tight end stuff, which you should have more ability to do this year, you would think. There was at least one rep in particular. I remember Hansen and Van Dorsler out there at the same time, kind of flanking that 12 personnel stuff. It's hard not to be borderline giddy with the tight end room right now. I mean, it's just the bodies, Jason Witten in there. There's a ton to be excited about for me on offense, and you know, last week when I did the show with Colin, I mentioned it then, the two position groups I didn't really see a lot of in the first practice just because of the way the Everest is kind of laid out was linebackers on defense, and it was offensive line on offense. I just didn't really see them a lot. So I made a better effort yesterday when we were out there. It's hard not to be pretty fired up with the offensive line too. And also with what has been said, Brent Venables, that was a position group that he highlighted when we talked to him last Thursday, said he feels really good about where they're at in the offensive line. You asked Ben Arbuckle yesterday about improving the run game. That was one of the first things he pointed to as a reason to feel a lot better, was just a year older for these guys. And the guys they brought in, I mean, Amarian Harris looks the part. I thought Peyton Joseph yesterday really getting to get a really, we didn't meet him at the media day. He wasn't there. He's one of the only guys that wasn't there because of class stuff. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I didn't really see the O-line last week very much. And so yesterday was the first time I really got to see him. I thought he looked pretty good. And then another guy who I, you know, that we just don't really talk about very much because I think he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Darius Afalava is a monster.
Big boy.
He's a monster. And what's he listed at? I had it on here.
4.365, I think.
Yes, 365. 6'4", 365. My God. And he's a retro freshman. Like, he's a young dude. And he stood out to me immediately yesterday. He was one of those – I was kind of like a mental note of when I'm looking at the roster and I have one of those, like, who is that? You know, like, what number? And I – Darius Afalava, not that he's going to obviously, you figure, be in the starting rotation by any means, but there's depth there. Like, there is a really legitimately exciting group. You just look at what they are physically and just hearing what – is being said about them. Both Brent Venables and Ben Arbuckle quick to point out where they are in that group compared to maybe this time last year. It's hard not to be excited about the big guys up front. And not that it's going to be 2017, 2018 Joe Moore Award, but it feels like we're getting closer to that. And Bill Beatonbow, it's been a little bit of a transition, having to rely on some transfers and, you know, kind of piecing it together the last couple of years. Honestly, a couple of years ago in 24, it was really rough at times. It just feels like with what they've done at the high school level, a couple of nice portal additions like an Amarian Harris offensive line, I'm starting to come around the idea that they could be pretty good up there. So a lot to be excited about there. What about defensively? Anything jump out to you on that side so far in this first week? Obviously not as much unknown as there is on offense. What stood out to you there?
Yeah. I was going to say, do we want to just round out the offense real quick and touch on John Mateer?
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah, 100%.
You know, John Mateer, like, so much has been made about, like, working on his mechanics this offseason, and, you know, we noticed it a little bit at Pro Day. I know you weren't out there, but it just looks like he's throwing some more over the top and trying, you know, to not rely as much on sidearm. And, you know, some of that last year was just, like, not having a good grip post-thumb injury. But you can see just, like, it looks a little bit cleaner. Looks a little bit more of a smooth throwing motion for him. And like, there's going to be times where he still kind of reverts back to that sidearm. You know, we heard from quarterbacks coach John Kusiewski on Saturday, and he talked like, there's going to be times where he's off platform and, you know, just by the design of the play, whether it's, you know, an RPO or maybe he's on the move where he's going to, you know, throw sidearm at times. But the key is to just get him to throw over the top more consistently. And, you know, Mateer talked about it. It's like, yeah, like ever since he was a kid, you know, you hear it, you know, keep it near your ear. Like, that's what his dad would always tell him. Keep it near your ear. So he's working on, you know, just being a little bit more consistent and clean with that motion. And also just the footwork, you know, being on platform, not just when he's throwing it, but when he's, you know, taking snaps, when he's dropping back, when he's, you know, getting ready to hand off or, you know, a mesh point there or something like that. It's just about, you know, from bottom up being more fundamentally sound. And they're hoping that that can kind of bring out the best of him because they've seen what he can do when he's at his best. It's just a matter of getting that more consistently now that he's healthy. So I think we've seen that some early on here from John Mateer. And then the running backs is interesting because, you know, we talked about it. Torrey Blaylock is not really practicing this spring. Right. Xavier Robinson's dealing with an ankle injury, I believe. So he you know, he was in a boot yesterday. And then, you know, I've been pretty impressed so far with what I've seen from Lloyd Avant, Colorado State transfer. He, you know, we got to see some half line drills yesterday. And he just looks like he moves pretty well in tight spaces, which you like to see. Both of the freshmen look pretty impressive from the limited reps that we've seen. You know, Jonathan Haddon just like physically looks the part. Does Evan Walker, I like the way he runs with kind of a lower center of gravity. And another guy that we haven't really talked about at all, but Andy Bass is out there. Yeah. And, you know, look, for a guy who's coming off of multiple, you know, reconstructive knee surgeries, he's moving pretty well. There was one rep during the half line drill where, you know, he beat the defense to the corner or to the outside and was able to turn the corner pretty smoothly. And again, this is day four. You know, they're not going, you know, completely full speed, but I think that's promising, you know, just development on his part. So I'm curious to see like what things might look like for him, because he's a guy that, you know, is just because of injuries, he's just kind of been lost in the shuffle, but you look at him out there on the field and like, you know, I think I said it to someone, he kind of reminds me of like Doug Martin, former Bucks yeah. running back, you know, muscle hamster. Just yeah, a dude right. that's just like shredded out there and like kind of unassuming, but like you get the ball in his hands and he might be able to do some things. So that running back room is really interesting right now, especially with the top two guys kind of, you know, out at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Andy Bass, you think this is a really good time for him. I mean, with like you said, with X-Rob and Torrey both on the shelf at the moment, should be a lot of opportunities for him. I would think the spring game should be a lot of opportunities for him. So yeah, good to see him healthy. Guy who was so fun in high school, obviously local guy from the Oklahoma City at Heritage Hall, and just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, you tear your ACL on both knees at separate times. It's just a horrific luck. And so just, you know, you're rooting for him. You're rooting for him, and hopefully he can stay healthy. Having a nice camp so far, I agree totally. Jonathan Hatton, I mentioned it last week. He looks awesome. I mean, he looks the part, certainly. He had a juke yesterday where he just – absolutely destroyed. I'll save the name of the linebacker that he duked out just to be nice, but it was something. Really good stuff from Jonathan Hatton. He looks great. Devin Walker does too, but yeah. Hatton is definitely hard not to be excited when you get eyes on him. You know, just feeling like a guy who can help right away. What about defensively? You know, I mentioned linebacker was one that I was excited to see more of yesterday, and I certainly thought, I mean, not that it's a shock, but Cole Sullivan, he's so long, and the way he moves around, hard not to be excited about him. We got to talk to Taylor Heim after practice yesterday for the first time. He's one that clearly is going to play. I think that's pretty obvious at this point. We've kind of earmarked him as a cheetah option, it would seem. He talked about that yesterday and everything he sponged off of Kendall Daniels. I thought that was kind of interesting to hear him talk about that a little bit. What stood out to you defensively so far? Again, not as many unknowns on that side, but there are some, and there are some new faces over there. And some of the big names that we're used to seeing are not going right now, like Stone and Jackson, which kind of like we're just talking about the running backs, creates opportunities for other guys to step up and earn themselves a role. You know, right now, this is where that starts right now.
Yeah. Speaking of that defensive tackle spot, Nigel Smith yeah. has looked like the most impressive guy that's been out there again with Jaden Jackson and David Stone not participating. I think Nigel Smith's really made the most of his offseason so far. There were multiple points yesterday, whether it was during indie drills or, you know, during the half line drills, where Todd Bates was just like so excited about what he saw from Nigel Smith's reps. Yeah. You know, Bishop Thomas was a guy who also, you know, got a couple of whoops from Todd Bates for what he does. And and Bishop Thomas is interesting because he's an older guy, but he's like not as big as some of these other defensive yeah. tackles they have. Like, he's not as big as Nigel Smith. He's not as big as Trent Wilson, not as big as Tank Carrington even. But, you know, Brent Venables mentioned it last week. He's kind of funky. It's like he's got a little bit of a savviness to his game just because he's been yeah. playing for so long. So I'm curious to kind of see how things take shape for him. But Nigel Smith's a guy that's absolutely caught my eye. Trent Wilson, you know, we've talked about, like, he just looks massive. You know, looks like a 40-year-old man, but that's how he looked when he was a freshman too. Right. You know, Tank Carrington is a guy that Brent Venables said reminds him a lot of Jaden Jackson when he was a true freshman, which – You hear that, you get excited, yeah, certainly. And it's mostly just because of, his block recognition and how he's been able to, you know, identify and shed some blocks in the run game. And that's going to get him on the field early in the SEC if he can keep that up. At defensive end, you know, obviously, like, they know what they have in Taylor Wine, but Danny Okoye has looked really good there, getting the reps opposite him with PJ Adewale coming off foot surgery. Kenny Ozawalu is a guy who was a little bit limited. That first day we were out there, it looked like he was cramping up on day one, but he's looked pretty good too. Like, he's big for a defensive end, and like, we know that they're going to play him inside and out, but I like the way that he moves off the edge at his size. That's been pretty impressive. And another young guy that's, you know, been getting some good reps with the top group. You know, that kind of top four in the rotation is Jake Krell. Easy to see why, you know, they've been excited about him, even if he doesn't necessarily have like the physical traits that, you know, the length or some of the size necessary defensive end, the way he moves and just to kind of expose off that edge has looked good so far.
Yeah, no, I agree totally, especially on Ozawalu. Like we said, we didn't really get to see him the first day, and so got better chance to get a look at him yesterday. And I definitely looked. He was a little bigger than I realized when we met him, honestly. Mm-hmm. And you know, he looks good. Colin had noted Trent Wilson last week, so I want to get a better look yesterday. Hard not to imagine he's not going to factor in somewhere. He looks great, frankly. And so that's the question. I mean, and Colin, I mentioned it last week. I mean, between Trent Wilson and Nigel Smith, you probably need at least one of them to pop. And probably both, but at least one has got to step up. You feel pretty good about that right now. Both guys certainly look good and have gotten a lot of praise from Brent Venables, especially Nigel Smith. So you feel good. I mean, defensive tackle, some questions there. We'll talk about the injury part of it in a second. But, you know, at this point in late March, it feels like you can at least be pretty optimistic that they have some other options after that top two, which we know is going to be great if they're healthy, you know, that they can still be really good there. Is it going to be quite as like it was last year where you had four guys who were all elite for you? Maybe not, but maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, a couple of these guys could really jump up and be quite good for you. As far as just like some other miscellaneous standouts yesterday, I think I've hit most of mine. I was going to just also throw in, and not that he's a new commodity, he's not, but Michael Boganowski looks sick. I mean, just an absolute weapon. He has gotten bigger, and he's one of those guys who kind of wears his jersey like up a little bit and just like shows how just chiseled he is. We noted him the first day, but I got a better look, I feel like, yesterday than the first day, and it was – I mean, he's tall and just – it's not hard to see why he has the reputation for being a thumper, can really pop you, because he doesn't look like someone I would want to lay me out over the middle. Like he looks really, really good. He's obviously going to have a really big role this year. Anything else for you defensively, any secondary guys or just anything that's jumped out to you this first week?
Yeah. You know, they need that top group of safety to be really strong just because you see them out there when they're in Indy, and it's by far like the smallest position group on the field, like in terms of personnel, you know, especially because, you know, Markelle Ford's been dealing with injury, so he hasn't practiced yet. So it's only like five guys over there working with Brandon Hall. It's like Peyton Bowen, Michael Boganowski, Marion Robinson, Nico Jandro, I believe, and like Kaysen Kalmus, who's, you know, former walk-on. So it's a pretty small group, you know, especially when Reggie Powers working over there when he's working at Cheetah. So they really need, you know, right now they need Omarion Robinson to, you know, really step up and be kind of that third guy. You know, we'll see what they can get from the freshman between Nico Jandro and, you know, Markelle Ford when he gets healthy. But it's a room that feels kind of thin, but it's not one where you need a ton of bodies to begin with. But that's just one of the things that kind of stands out when you're out there and you're like, huh. But as far as other things in the secondary, you know, Jeremiah Newcomb, you know, he's been going back and forth between corner and Cheetah this last week. So he's going to work behind Reggie Powers. I think he's the primary guy behind Reggie Powers at Cheetah right now, but they certainly have, you mentioned Taylor Heim, if they want a bigger body at Cheetah, kind of like they had last year with Kendall Daniels. So they have some optionality there. But Newcomb's, you know, been splitting time between both, and I think they'll see the field at both. But I mean, you know, Eli Bowen and Cortland Gillery and Jacoby Johnson, like they look like they did at the end of last season, which is good. And obviously, you know, Eli Bowen being healthy this spring and being able to, you know, go through everything is certainly good for them too.
Yeah, Jeremiah Newcomb feels like one of the bigger kind of just wild card X factory type of guys on the roster. Guy who had a great fall camp last year and then was out all season, and we never saw him. Back in the fold this year, you wondered, would he be a potential portal guy? You hope not, because of the upside. Obviously didn't. He's still here. And now you're just kind of like, where does he fit in? He looks great in the uniform. It's like, can he be healthy, and can he help, and where can he help? He just kind of a bit of a wild card, a bit of an X factor. Like, if they can find it feels like there should be a way to use him when you just look at him move around on the field. Like, they got to find a way to get him on the field, but where that is, I don't really know right now. It's just, you know, he's a fun one to I hopefully we get to talk to him at some point this spring to kind of where does he envision his best chance to help the team now, you know, because he does feel like just kind of a, you know, like I said, a bit of an X factor right now. Yeah. So
and he really stands out right now because he's wearing a blue jersey out there. You know, still a little non-contact, you know, coming off that shoulder issue from last year. I think him and Marcus James are the only guys really, you know, aside from the quarterbacks, the only guys that have been in those non-contact jerseys these first, you know, couple weeks.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's a great segue into I was going to ask you just any concern level injury wise. I know that certainly fans are squeamish in this area because OU has been beat up, especially on offense last couple of years. Last year, the running back room felt like nobody was healthy. 2 years ago, obviously, it was very extreme, especially in the wide receiver room. You know, I'll roll off some of them. You know, you mentioned James Newcomb, obviously, Bo Jandro on a scooter. But offensively, there's some key guys. We mentioned Xavier Robinson, Troy Blaylock are both banged up at the moment. Elijah Thomas is in a boot. Jermichael Carter was in a boot yesterday. You know, offensive line, I think they're pretty healthy at the moment for the most part.
Ryan Foje wasn't out there yesterday.
I think Nitta is a little maybe nicked up at the moment. We mentioned that on the defensive side, Stone and Jackson are not really doing much of anything right now. There's obviously some other ones as well. You mentioned Trell Harris right now is out. He had to have a cleanup surgery. It sounds like nothing long term, but he's out, right? He's not practicing right now. Parker Livingston was out there. They had to work on his right, like you said, it was like right thigh wrap. So that could be groin leg. I don't know. Nothing crazy, but again, it's another thing. Any concern for you right now? I think OU fans are rightfully, you know, some bad just memories here because they've been pretty beat up on offense, even going, I mean, big John Mateer last year. I mean, it's been a problem the last couple of years, especially on offense. Anything that really worries you long term, at least right now?
I'm not super concerned about it right now. Long term. I think look, it's spring, so they're gonna be more cautious with minor injuries, with a lot of guys. Like you mentioned, the running backs. I'm really not concerned about Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock, especially after we spoke to Dylan McCullough before the start of spring, where he was like, look, I don't want to give those guys 1,000 reps a piece in the spring. Like that, are you going to get diminishing returns when you do that with your top guys? So like, he wanted to get more reps for some of these younger guys and see what they had with the newcomers as well, because like we've seen what Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock can do in this offense. So, I'm not really concerned about that. You know, maybe like a smidgen of concern about the wide receivers. And I know like fans are going to get PTSD in 2024 from that. Because there are a few of them that are out, like Trell Harris, like he should be back in the next week or so. It sounded like when, you know, we spoke to Brent Venables last week, you know, he said it should be like a 2 week thing coming back from that cleanup procedure. So we'll see if they are able to ramp him up a little bit on the back end of spring practice and, you know, get him some reps this spring. You know, Jermichael Carter, maybe a little bit of concern just because he was actually like on a crutch yesterday in his boot. Whereas like Elijah Thomas is like just walking around in the protective boot, kind of like Xavier Robinson was. You know, you mentioned the offensive line, Caleb Nieta. It was a thing he was dealing with before the spring, I believe, that they were already aware of. So he's, you know, we've seen him out there, you know, working on some conditioning with trainers on the backfield. So it seems like it's only a matter of time before he gets closer. Like yesterday, yesterday he wasn't even with the trainer. Like he was there with the offensive lineman, actually like watching them, just not fully participating yet. Ryan Foje looked like he banged up his knee a little bit, so he was in a brace yesterday and getting some treatment, so he wasn't out there. So Heath Ozaida stepped in as the starting right guard yesterday. But overall, I just don't think it's a lot to be overly concerned about just because of where we are in the calendar. And I think, you know, they're prioritizing, you know, keeping some of these guys healthy. Like we heard with like David Stone, Brent Venables was like, yeah, he's not going to do a whole lot this spring just because we want to make sure he's good to go for the summer and ready for fall camp. And I think that's the approach that they're taking with a lot of these guys with minor injuries.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not concerned. Stone and Jax, I'm not concerned really at all. You know, those guys don't really need the spring, for lack of a better way to put it. Just keep make sure they're ready to go as best you can when you get to August and obviously into September. not really concerned there. Mildly concerned, I guess, with the running backs just because they were hurt so much last year as well. And if we get into spring and X-Rob and Torrey are both still, I mean, again, nothing crazy that would affect the season right now, but it's just kind of like you'd like to see them healthy just because they were so beat up last year. You know?
Yeah, but to that end, like we were talking about before the spring, like we wouldn't even know how much they would be doing, you know, coming off those injuries in the spring. So that's why I'm not like super concerned about it. It's like,
I don't know how much they needed either.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was the thing. I wasn't coming in with like expectations that those guys were going to do a lot this spring. Just cause I figured after playing through the knee and the shoulder issues that they were going to kind of prioritize getting right in the spring. And, you know, Xavier Robinson, I think he had a procedure in December, you know, shortly after the season ended, but you know, he was cleared to go for the start of spring and then looked like he just rolled up his ankle on Saturday a little bit. So obviously he's a guy that, you know, had been out there up till that point. So we'll see what happens with him the rest of the way. But like Torrey Blaylock, like playing through that shoulder, like you got to get that right and, you know, be ready for the summer and fall camp and not worry so much about spring.
Yeah. And the same thing for wide receiver, mildly concerned, definitely not anything major. You'd like to have Trell Harris out there, right? Not ideal just because, you know, you want him getting reps, right? I mean, he's around, you know, he can still learn the offense, you know, mental reps, as they say. And there is a belief, I believe, that, you know, he'll get to participate in spring at some point. So, you know, again, nothing crazy there. Not ideal. You prefer him to be out there. Parker Livingston is out there. Again, don't think it's anything crazy with him, but just, you know, another little factor. And then Elijah Thomas, the guy you're hoping to make a jump. Now he's got a boot. Jermichael Carter, could he factor in? Now he's got a boot. You know, I mean, these are all just things that aren't ideal, but nothing that on March 31st, I'm going to sit here and say, like, this is a problem. That'd be a little strong for me, but, you know, some certainly not preferred things, especially because just some of these guys, unlike a Stoner Jackson, like you're hoping are going to make a leap this spring. That's a lot harder to do when you're not 100%, obviously. Yeah. So, you know,
yeah, we'll see. I think the only injuries that are like long-term concerns at this point are a guy like Daniel Akinkunmi and I guess Bo Jandro. You know, both those guys moving around on scooters. When guys are out there on scooters, you know, it's a little bit different.
For sure. So we'll continue to monitor it. I don't think anything you should lose sleep over if you're an OU fan right now. But, you know, a factor. So always got to keep it in mind. And just get through spring healthy as best you can is one of the top objectives, certainly for Oklahoma. So we'll shift to some other stuff. But, yeah, spring ball coverage obviously continuing. We'll have stuff basically every single day. And they're moving right through it. They're back on the practice field Wednesday and Thursday. And then obviously – back to it next week. I'm sure we'll have more media stuff next week and spring game coming up in obviously a little less than 3 weeks, which looking forward to certainly just to get a better look at the team here in a few weeks. The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break. All right, let's do some other sports before we get out of here. We'll start with men's hoops. They're heading out to Vegas. The crown finally starts tomorrow. This layoff really long between the end of the season and the crown, but kind of helped Oklahoma in some ways, as Porter Moser talked about yesterday. We got to hear from Porter yesterday for the first time since the SEC tournament, first time since Selection Sunday, first time since he was retained. I thought Porter was really good. He always is, but I thought he was very open and good, just kind of being honest about everything yesterday. And now the team heads out to Vegas. They play Colorado tomorrow. Tom, just your expectations for Vegas, and then if you had any grand takeaways from hearing from Porter yesterday, feel free to get into that as well. But, you know, looking forward to seeing what the team can do this week. And, you know, I do think there's something to be said for building momentum into the all season, like we talked about last week. Nebraska did win this thing last year, and they had a great year this year, the best year in the history of the program. Porter made the note yesterday that they beat UCF, who also had a great year this year, got back to the tournament. So, something to be said for finishing on a high note for your returning players, which Oklahoma hopes to have some of. Obviously, there are some pieces of this team that can be back and you hope will be back. What are some thoughts for you as the team heads out to Vegas and will take on Colorado tomorrow night trying to keep their season going?
Yes, it seems like you should like their chances out there. It's a smaller field for one, so you just need to win three games. And just focusing on this first game against Colorado, you know, sounds like Colorado's got multiple guys that are already
got a lot of guys.
I don't think that they'll be playing in this game. So that should be interesting for Oklahoma. Obviously, Oklahoma will be without a couple guys. Dayton Forsyth underwent surgery last week
not
on his ankles. You know, it sounds like he'll be good to go for the offseason. It's just a matter of like, did they want to put off surgery, two or three more weeks, or just get it taken care of? Ultimately decided to get it taken care of. So there's going to be a little bit more on the shoulders for guys like Xavier Brown and Nigel Pack. But, you know, with 2 weeks off, I think those guys are going to have a little bit more in the tank than, you know, let's say like when Dayton was dealing with the injury back in January when this team was in a funk and, you know, you had a game every, you know, two or three days.
Sure.
So I think those guys are going to be able to, you know, kind of man up a little bit. And, you know, Jadon Jones is going to have a big role as kind of that third guard off the bench for them. But they'll be without Dayton and they'll be without Jeff Nwanko, who, you know, asked Porter about it, said it's an internal team matter.
Yeah.
So we'll see what his status is moving forward, because, you know, he's a guy that even though he's listed as a senior on the roster, that they sound pretty confident that they'd be able to get another year for him because, you know, the JUCO years. So we'll see. Obviously a guy that fell out of the rotation kind of in February. But, you know, I think the expectation should be pretty high for this team just based on the way it was playing over the final month of the season. Obviously the first team left out of the NCAA tournament. So going to have a, you'd think on paper, an edge against a lot of these teams in the field. And, you know, mentioned Colorado just, you know, probably being down a few guys themselves. So if they can, you know, make a run this week and, you know, carry some momentum in the next season, I think that's huge. You know, sounds like Xavier Brown is going to be back next year. I think as long as Justin Scott, his, you know, stepfather, is on staff, like, I don't think there's any concern about him leaving. Like, he's not going to jump to the NBA right now. I doubt he transfers unless someone poaches Justin Scott this offseason. And it sounded like Darion Reed will be back too. And obviously, if you can keep him, that's huge. If you can keep those two as kind of the foundation moving forward, that's huge. But, you know, Porter Moser, you know, talked about just kind of the corner that Darion has kind of turned over these last several weeks, you know, dating back to, you know, through February as the team surged. And certainly he stood out in the SEC tournament. And just talking to him about what his role will look like going into next season. And I think that was one of the more interesting things that Porter talked about, is like, the benefit of them being in this tournament as opposed to, you know, choosing to just opt out of anything or just doing the NIT where maybe, you know, your season ended a week or so ago. It's like, he's been able to be around these guys for the last 2 weeks, where a lot of teams whose seasons are already over, those players all scatter to the wind and you don't know who's in their ear trying to pull them which direction. Porter Moser and the Oklahoma staff have been in these guys' ears every day since Selection Sunday. You know, they took a few days off, you know, about a week off without practice, but got back at it last week and just gearing up for this run now. So it sounds like the crown, aside from the prize money aspect of it for the players, just kind of being able to be around these guys for a few more weeks is going to really help with the retention aspect of it for Oklahoma moving forward.
Yeah, it's just like we talked about last week whenever we talked about them accepting to do it. It feels like a bowl game in football. It's the same thing. It's like you're getting extra practices and time with your team, even more so than us. So they want to go win it. They want to go make money for the players and springboard into the offseason. But just the extra time with the team seems to be maybe the most valuable part of it than anything. And so, yeah, I was going to bring that up as well. I thought Xavier Brown, he certainly talked like a guy who's going to be back. Look, I don't know, not that you expect him to sit up there and say like, oh, I'm leaving after this.
Right.
But, you know, he certainly made it sound like a guy. And if you could have him and Darion Reed and Dayton Forsyth and, you know, maybe a Kuala Talk and a Kai Rogers, like take, you know, you at least have a little nucleus. You know, it's not a complete restart like Porter's had to deal with in the past. And so you could at least feel like you have a little something to build off of. And then you loop in what Roger Denny said and what Porter Moser said, which is they've supposedly, you know, reaffirmed a commitment to college to basketball and to put more resources into basketball. If you can actually go do that, which easier said than done, but if you can actually go do that, go make some splashes in the portal to go with those guys, maybe you got a pretty good team, you know? So we'll see. I'm excited to watch him play again tomorrow night. It's national TV on FS1, 7 o'clock tip locally here in Oklahoma. Like, it's kind of set up, you know, the the fact they waited this long, the tournament is largely over outside of the Final Four. Like, there's no conflicts there. Like, the NIT is going head to head. Like, it kind of makes sense the way they do it. And so, yeah, look forward to seeing them play again. If they win, they play either Baylor or Minnesota on Saturday, I believe. And the championship would be Sunday in the in-between day in the Final Four. And so we'll see what they can do out there. Obviously, we'll be plugged in tomorrow. And whenever we do the show next week, we'll obviously talk about what they did out there in Vegas, see if they can't use that to springboard into the offseason. And then the portal opens next week. I think it opens the 7th, I think, which is, I think, a week from today. So, you know, it'll move quick. We'll get into the offseason quickly. Starting next week on the show for sure.
And it was interesting hearing from Porter. You know, you mentioned what Roger Denny said when, you know, announced that Porter would be retained. Like, this is the first time we heard from Porter since then. And, you know, he talked about just the relationship that he's been able to build with Roger Denny and how he's excited about, like, the competitiveness that Roger brings to like, his view, like, coming from Illinois, where they've obviously invested a lot in that basketball program, and you know, they're in the Final Four right now. But, you know, Porter seems excited about it. He was appreciative to hear, you know, Roger come out and be like, the resources do not meet the expectations, so they need to, you know, get that more level. And I'm interested to see what that looks like this offseason, because, look, obviously last year they stepped up their NIL game a little bit to be able to land guys like Nigel Pack and Xavier Brown and Darian Reed and Tay Davis. You know, it was a number 11 portal class, but you need to, you know, exceed that this year, I think, in terms of what you're investing in this roster. And I know the resources aren't just, you know, in terms of what you're paying the players. So we'll see what that looks like all around. But you look around the SEC and look, when Oklahoma was, you know, near the bottom of the SEC in terms of its roster, how much it invested in the roster this year. But you look at other teams like LSU, like, they're clearly going to be paying more now with Will Wade over there. Yeah. Like, so it's not just that you have to do more than you did this year. You have to do more than what the bottom of the SEC was already doing this year, because it's an arms race. Everybody's racing to the top. And, you know, Porter talked about it. It's like, look, in those circles, in coaching circles, you know what other schools are paying for their roster. So you kind of know what it takes to be competitive in that space. So I want to see what that looks like for Oklahoma, like, once the portal opens and what kind of moves they're able to make to not only retain players, talked about that, you know, that nucleus that they're hoping to be able to bring back, but what they can add to it to kind of get Oklahoma across that bubble line, because they've been living there for the last 5 years.
Right. So we'll see. I'm excited to see him play again this week. And yeah, we'll see what they can do out there in Vegas, Oklahoma, Colorado tomorrow night. Like, I said, 7 o'clock tip out there in Vegas. So their season continues. Flipping over, we'll hit some other sports here on the way out. The women, season came to an end out in Sacramento, got blown out by South Carolina in the Sweet 16. Unfortunately, felt very possible going in. Knew they were going to have to play really well to have a chance. Obviously, they did beat South Carolina once, so it's not like it was impossible. But, you know, like, obviously, they played pretty well that night and were at home. South Carolina did not play well. This is obviously a neutral site. And, you know, South Carolina not going to be overlooking a sweet, you know, season's on the line here. And the fact they lost Oklahoma the first time, they're ready to go, blown out in the Sweet 16. You know, good season for Oklahoma. Getting back to 16, like Peyton Verhulst said, was the bar. The hope was maybe they could get over that hump, not able to do it. And right now, women's hoops it's extremely top heavy. The top four teams are machines, and everyone else is trying to catch up to them. So Oklahoma is in the boat with many, many other teams. It's not an Oklahoma exclusive problem by any means. South Carolina, Texas, UConn, UCLA are just far above everyone else right now. Oklahoma trying to close that gap. They're still working at it. They were a young team this year. Obviously, Aaliyah Chavez is a freshman, but you're going to lose Reagan Beers. You're going to lose Peyton Verhulst, which are huge pieces of this thing. So we'll see what they can do in the offseason. But, Tom, I mean, good year, but a little disappointing in some ways as well. And we'll see where they go from here. Feels like right now they're just – until they're able to really just somehow get – like top of the line portal and continue to recruit multiple Aaliyah Chavez every year. This is kind of where they're capped, right? I mean, it's going to be hard to get past these top teams right now, that very top level. I mean, it's the same four teams going to the Final Four for the second straight year, all one seeds. you know, everyone, again, not just Oklahoma, everyone having a very hard time right now breaking through that top group right now, which is just rolling everyone at the moment.
Yeah, I think for Oklahoma, the goal needs to be to go from that 13 to 16 range to that 9 to 12 range. So you can avoid those top four teams until the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Because that's the next step. Obviously, like, bringing back Aaliyah Chavez is huge. Like, she's going to be one of the better players in the country next season. But losing Reagan Beers is going to be tough. Like, that is an All-American caliber big in women's hoops. So I'm curious to see what the roster construction is going to look like this offseason. But obviously, you know, Jenny Baranchek's kind of elevated the floor for this program. It's just a matter of how high can the ceiling go now? Because like you said, women's hoops more than men's hoops certainly is just so much more top heavy. There's like a very clear cut four or five teams that are just a cut above everybody else right now. And it's what can you do to shrink that gap as much as you can, so you can at least get to the cusp of, you know, that big stage right there.
Yeah. So we'll see what they can do in the portal. Obviously, yeah, Aaliyah Chavez and Brooklyn Stewart, that freshman class, along with Sarah Williams, will be back. Like, you have some pieces coming back that you're excited about, but Beers and Verhulst are really good. And so that's tough, especially, like you said, Beers, because not that Peyton Verhulst is really, really good, tough to replace, but Beers is just, there's not that many Reagan Beers out there in terms of the size and how good she is down low and perfect fit for Oklahoma, you know, just like personality wise. It's going to be tough to replace her, obviously. So we'll see what they can do in the offseason. And obviously, Roger Jenny, a lot of work to do in the men's hoops, but women's hoops as well. If you want to try and really get over that hump, you got some work to do there as well. So we'll see what Jenny can do this offseason. Over on the diamond, hit the other sports here, softball and baseball. We'll start with softball. Good weekend out in Baton Rouge. Got 2 out of 3 from LSU. LSU did win the middle game, so you know, went to a rubber match on Sunday. But Oklahoma able to bring it home and win the series. Again, Tom, a bunch of homers. They just continue. You know, I hand up. I'll admit, I you know, thought that when it got to SEC play, not they would just suddenly stop hitting homers, but it would slow down, and it really isn't. I mean, they're just continuing to hit bombs everywhere. You obviously were covering these games for us over on the site. Takeaways here, I mean, it feels like a pretty good road series win, right? I mean, to go out there and get 2 against a pretty good LSU team, and again, continuing to just match the ball everywhere, especially Kendall Wells, who just cannot be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, the first two games, the bats were silenced a little bit, especially that middle game.
Yeah,
they had that 22-game winning streak snapped, but they bounced back and kind of woke up in the finale on Sunday, hit 4 home runs. Kendall Wells hit her 26th of the season now, so she's 4 shy of tying the NCAA record, single season record for a freshman, and they still have, what, 20 something games left in the regular season. So we'll see if she can do that at home this weekend. But yeah, I mean, the pitching has looked a little bit better. I think, you know, they've gotten some obviously good outings from Audrey Lowry. Alyssa Parker's looked pretty good too. Miley Guachano, you know, went the distance on Sunday, struck out 11, season high for her. You know, still gave up a couple home runs there, and you know, a few runs on the game, but you know, when your offense is clicking like it was on Sunday and like it has for, you know, much of the season, you don't need your pitching to be lights out. But again, look, they're going to play tougher teams than LSU. But you know, this team is still clearly one of the best in the country right now. And when you have that kind of power in the lineup, you're going to win more often than not.
Yeah. Feel pretty good about where they're at right now, and excited to see him continue to navigate that Texas series just kind of looming. Looking forward to that showdown in Austin coming up in a couple of weeks. That's kind of, I think, everyone kind of circling for them right now. They're back at home this week. They have Wichita State tonight and then Kentucky this weekend. That's a Thursday to Saturday series, Easter on Sunday. So back at home this week. Pretty good weather. I say that. I think there's like some tornadic possibility this weekend. But it's warm, at least right now, today. So we'll see what happens with the schedule, if everything can be as scheduled. But back home this week for Oklahoma, we'll see how they continue to navigate SEC play with Kentucky coming into town this week. Finishing up on baseball, not a good weekend down in Austin. Obviously, they got swept by Texas. Now, Texas, you have to preface it, really good. Top two team, certainly in Omaha and national title contender. And Oklahoma had two of these games. That's where it gets painful. Thursday didn't go well, right? They got run ruled. It was just one of those games where it's anything bad that can happen kind of did. Friday and Saturday, tough to stomach just because the bullpen, we talked about it last week, the bullpen in Baton Rouge, and really all year, but especially in Baton Rouge, was unbelievably good. And on Friday and Saturday, Oklahoma had three-run leads in both of these games, got great starts by Cam Johnson, who bounced back, and then Corey Rager on Saturday. And the bullpen just kind of coughed it up, you know, just didn't pitch real well. Way too many walks. Offense left a lot of meat on the bones and not able to kind of push the leads out a little bit more. And Texas is really good, and they were at home, and they found a way to force extra innings in both games and win. Obviously, you didn't need to win this series by any means. You did want to avoid a sweep, which you weren't able to. It's not the end of the world. The sky's not falling. It stinks. I'm not here to tell you that it's okay or anything. It's not. You know, you don't want to get swept, especially by Texas. But you can get past this pretty quick as long as you don't let it linger. They have another top 20 series this week because that's the SEC. Alabama comes into town. They're number 16. OU only fell a few spots to 11. So you're still in good shape for hosting, all that sort of stuff. A lot of season left here, but definitely a bit of a, you know, because we talked about last week, when you go win two in at LSU, you're thinking, man, if they can win this series in Austin, now you're thinking really big now. You're thinking national seed, top eight. Like, you start to really think big. You're still thinking big. You're still feeling good. It's still a really good team, but it was a little bit of like a pulled you back down a little bit going down there. And look, they had a legit national title contender in their ballpark on the ropes twice, went to extras twice. It's not like they got flattened down there. They just, you know, the margins are small and they just weren't real sharp late. Like I said, too many walks, stuff like that. So let's see what they do this week. Big week. They're going up to Tulsa tonight to play Oral Roberts. I'm going to make the trip up there. And then Alabama, like I said, coming to Norman. That's another top 20 matchup. So you can get right back on the tracks if you go win the series this week with Alabama. You definitely need to. You can't lose series at home. You just can't. In the SEC, you can't afford it. And so big opportunity for them this week to kind of just, like I said, get things right back on track with a series win over Alabama. So we'll see where they go from there. Big weekend of Diamond Sports with Thursday to Saturday, both at home. And like I said before, hopefully the weather, I think it's potentially tornadic. So we're overdue in baseball. It's actually shocking that we're going to get into April without a doubleheader. That's kind of insane, really. We feel like we're overdue for one. Might be happening this week at some point. I think it was 2 years ago, 24, when they won the Big 12, that they had like six or seven doubleheaders. It was basically every weekend, it seemed like. Somehow we've avoided that to this point, but feels like it's bound to happen eventually. It might be this week. So we'll see what happens for Skip and the boys down in Norman. All right, I think that's it. We'll be back later this week, Colin. I think we're going to shoot for Thursday's show. We have some recruiting stuff to catch up on. OU's been hosting some big name guys the last, since spring ball started, the last week or so. And Colin's been on the road every weekend. So we have a lot of recruiting stuff to catch up on. We'll do that on Thursday. And then Tom and I will be back likely Monday. Spring ball stuff forced us to move to today. It's kind of a moving target this time of year, but likely Monday to recap obviously the latest spring ball stuff, but then also the weekends for the Diamond Sports and the Crown for men's hoops and all that good stuff. So that's it for now. A lot more spring ball coverage along with Diamond Sports hoops all on the site. Be sure to subscribe, use that promo code, and be with us over at Sooners Illustrated. We'll be back on Thursday with Colin. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.